Joining me in the studio now is Pat Sapp. Pat, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thanks.
Good, good. I wanted to have you in because you guys are doing this huge remodel over at the old Playhouse building. And I thought maybe you could, like, you know, give us a little bit of the history of the area there and the buildings, and then we'll talk about what you guys are going to do. People know it, mostly the younger people know it now as the old Playhouse, but it has an older history than that.
Yeah, it's a great story. I don't know if you want me to start with present day and work backwards or start at the very beginning.
And what you know of the property there. Because you guys have had that in your possession for a while.
Yes and no.
But part of it.
You'll get that.
Okay, we'll
story.
Get that.
So the Playhouse originally was built in 1944 by my uncle and members of his congregation. He was the first pastor of the Assembly of God there. They were meeting in a home. They decided to build a building. They did. And so that was 1944. My dad, we actually found out that my dad came over from the valley to help them build it.
Oh, cool.
Which is another little
tidbit.
Yeah. So my aunt, who was married to Henry Rose, who was the pastor, Ruby and Henry were in a car accident, and he was killed, and she was injured, and the congregation needed a new pastor, and that meant that Ruby had to move out of the parsonage. And so dad had... when that happened, a few years now forward. 1949, my dad came to Florence to deliver some auto parts. He had an auto parts store in Albany. He was delivering parts to Hans Peterson, who had Peterson Motors, which was a Chevrolet dealership. And Hans said, "Hank, why don't you buy my business? I'm ready to retire. Don't have anybody to hand it off to." Dad thought about it and did. So we moved here in 1949. I was 3 months old. And it was sometime in that period of time that Ruby and Henry had the car accident. So dad moved Ruby into an apartment in the long building right behind what is now called Homegrown. It's a 125-foot long building that goes from Laurel to Maple Street. And there was a space there for an apartment. And so that was an apartment for a long time for Ruby. I grew up in that church all my growing up days. When I went away to college, the church decided to build a new building, and they have one now at 10th Street, I think. So my mom and her sister, Sally, bought the old church building and turned it into a fabric shop called Nansal Fabrics, and it was a very successful business. They ran it for a number of years. Eventually, they sold it to someone, the business, to someone who worked for them and kept the building, and then they sold the building anyway. It's been a lot of different things over the years until John Flaherty purchased the building and turned it into the Playhouse. And meantime, we've done different things. My daughter and I had a little store on Bay Street called Milk and Cookies and other things that got closed down during COVID.
Right.
Lockdown, and that just kind of killed it for us. We had to keep meeting all our expenses and no money coming in. And so I started thinking about the Playhouse, thinking, what could we do to make that pay? And so I was just doing some figures. New Year's Eve, I said, "Tim, I figured out something that'll make more money than cookies." And he listened and he said, "Well, why don't you call John and we'll get together with him tomorrow?" So I called John and he said, "Sure, yeah, let's meet." So we met at the Playhouse. And on the 1st of January, we bought the building. And I need to back up a little bit.
Okay.
So in October, Tim gave me a call and says, "You know, we had just finished remodeling a house and selling it. He had a little bit of money in his pocket, and he was thinking about how to invest it. But he said he was driving by, and it just like a flash in his mind, he said, 'Huh, maybe we should buy that.'" We call it the Laurel property, which includes Homegrown and that long building, all that little corner of the block. And he called me, and of course I was excited because that's how we came to Florence in the first place.
Ryan, yeah, the whole property.
I know. So we went over to look at it. It was a challenge, but we, you know, it was very exciting because it had been, it had history for our family. And we bought that property in October, and then in January, we bought the playhouse. So it's all kind of a compound, and mm-hmm. we've been developing both buildings at once, trying to focus on getting the playhouse up and running, which we've changed a little. That's what's taking so long. We decided to put a restaurant downstairs, and it's going to be wonderful, but it's just taking a long time.
Part of that, are you going to keep the upstairs an entertainment
Yes.
facility as well?
Yes. The upstairs will continue to call it the Playhouse. The restaurant's called the Green Room. But the Playhouse will be, and the whole place will be open 5 nights a week. And we have something planned for every night of the month, which includes a fun little thing on Friday and Saturdays called Cabaret. It's a one-hour variety show with comedy and music and dance and whatever. It's just, in fact, I even wrote a skit and put a part in there for George.
Oh, really? Well, you know, there is a real, I feel like there's a really great need for this. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about it is because when I drove by there the other day, I stopped in and I looked at it and I was like, wow, this is amazing, you know, what you guys are doing.
It's
and
gonna
I think
be.
It's
yeah.
really going to be nice for the Florence community.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is this kind of a family affair? I mean, you know, is
well,
Bree and
everything,
Wendy,
yeah.
and everything's a family affair?
Bryn, Wendy, everybody gets in on it, yeah. That's always the way it has been. I even had my mom and dad in the first show I ever directed.
Wow.
So, yeah, family. The format for the Playhouse is varied. So we have, you know, like that variety show on Friday and Saturdays. But we have one night called Chill Night, which is just, it's live music, but it's not a performance. It's more like background
right.
for people to come and visit. We have Single Mingle twice a month, which is for singles. A fun evening of activity and meeting everybody. We have Grange Hall Night a couple times a month, which is country music and stuff. We're trying to get at least one, we call it star attraction, one big group to come a month. And then we just plan on using lots of local talent filling in.
Now, what are some of the challenges that you faced during the remodel process of this? Because obviously, you know, it wasn't meant to be a restaurant, you know, and so you've had to do a lot of work in there. What are some of the biggest challenges?
Regulations, permits, things, hurdles to jump through. In designing it, we had to consider a lot of different things. I don't know what to say, the biggest hurdle. I think it's been timing because we have lots of different contractors working on it and they'll come and do what they can and then they leave and somebody else comes and works on for a while. It was never a restaurant, but when I was growing up, there was a kitchen there and we had potlucks and things like that. But other than that, it was completely redo.
Yeah. So I know Tim said you had to put a septic tank in there because it has to feed up from the ADA bathrooms in the basement up into the sewer system.
Right.
So that
right.
was a costly
thing. Oh, it's huge. And it started out, we planned on taking all of that to on one side, to the north side of the building. And then during all of the progress, decided it the city needed to have it come out the other side of the building. So redoing all of that.
Mm-hmm. So out of the south side instead.
So now it's from the south side and coming around. And we thought it was going to interrupt a tree that we have next to the But we found a way to kind of circumvent around that. And it's just a challenge. Every day there are things. Yesterday you saw the
hood,
the big crane that came over from Eugene to raise the thing that goes on top of the roof that attaches to the vent hood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. Now, you probably, because of regulations and everything, you probably don't have a specific start date. But when do you hope to be finished and open by? So I know you've got a chef picked out and everything, right?
Oh, we have a chef, yeah. In fact, he's part of the team really important part. We don't have an open time, but we better be open in September. That's all I have to say about that.
We
thought we'd be open by summer. In fact, the show that I wrote that had George in it, we're going to have to wait till next summer now because it was a summer show.
Because it's a summer show. Yeah. Okay. And again, I know Tim told me yesterday that he's putting in three apartments in the building there next to that.
Yeah.
And so you guys are just kind of – and there's going to be outdoor seating for the restaurant as well,
yeah,
right?
That's pretty exciting. Yeah. It's not going to happen immediately. We're going to remodel we call it the annex. It's a building that my mom had built kind of onto the original building for storage and things. But that's going to become an open kitchen, and we're going to put a wood baked pizza oven in there.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
And then the outdoor seating will be wonderful. There's a garden there, and yeah, pretty exciting. It's just we're focusing right now on getting the restaurant up and running because.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, the space looks beautiful so far, what I've seen. So I think you guys have got some. I'm looking forward to having dinner there and watching a show myself.
Yeah, it's the menu is different than anything in Florence. We won't be doing burgers and fries. We call it fine dining, and the chef came from a restaurant in Portland that was one of the top 50 in the nation. And
now, how fine is fine? Are you going to be tablecloths and stuff?
We've talked about that, but you know what? That's our generation.
Right, right.
And
new fine dining is the younger generation. They don't necessarily have
food. It's our daughter Bryn and Ben, the chef, that's their territory down there. And so I said, well, but surely the wait staff is going to have uniforms. Oh, no, we don't do that anymore.
Oh,
so, you know, not candles and flowers. And that's what I think of.
Right, when you think of fine
dining. All about the food.
Right.
And the food is amazing. I've never tasted anything like that.
Right.
So every
he's
bite.
Giving you some
he's cooked for us, yeah. Oh,
really.
Oh. I can't stop saying enough good things about what he does, and he loves it. It's like you can see his eyes light up when he talks about it.
Well, Pat, thank you for coming, and good
luck. Absolutely,
thank
you.
I can't wait till you get this place open so we can come and enjoy it.
Oh, me too. Thanks, George.
Thank you. Coming up next on the August edition of Our Town, we'll talk with John Spangler from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife about the no Chinook season.